You are at the right time, in the right place, with
right people.
Amen, amen. I'm so happy to see you and worship God this morning. Would you please volume a little bit down, maybe 5% or 10? Yes, okay. Now I can shout it out. We have a few announcements. Please find your bulletin with you. Tomorrow we will have trust meeting, 5:30. So if you are a trust member, please remember that. And next Sunday, we will have potluck. We are Methodist. Who doesn't like potluck? So we will have it after the second service. And there will be something to eat and some ice cream. So I hope you join us. And on the second Sunday of August, I mentioned that last Sunday, we will have Blessing of the Backpack. August 13, we will have one service at 9:30 outside. It will be outdoor service around the gazebo, and there will be some fun. So please remember that. And if you come at 8 a.m. on that Sunday, I'm going to welcome you, and you will work with me. These days we are collecting some items for body bags. Can we have that slide? Yes. If you have any question, please find Roberta Fredericks. Okay, and today it's Rory. He's our liturgist. Yes. Let's gather our mind and worship God together.
Good morning. Please stand as you're able. And join with me responsively in our call to worship. This is none other than the house of God. This is nothing less than the gate of heaven. God hems us in behind and before and lays hands of blessings upon us. Such knowledge is too wonderful for us. It is so high we cannot attain it. Rest in the majesty of our God. Give thanks and sing of God's glory. Surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. Our opening hymn is God of Grace and God of Glory.
Yeah, 1 and 3.
People for thy fall, from thy nation searches story, bring up us to glorious flow. Grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the facing of this hour, for the facing of this.
Please be seated. Today is Tim's birthday, and Sadie and Megan. Oh, please say happy birthday to Megan. Yes. And Beth, and Dala, Allison, and Linda. And we also have two couples who have wedding anniversary, Frank and Jen. And Jeremy and Holly. You can send a card or... Oh, we don't have one? Yeah, Frank and Jane is Friday, this coming Friday. So you can send a card or make a phone call to celebrate their special day. And now I'd like to invite you to share your joys and concerns as a family. Welcome back, Larry. Yes. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. And other joy, yes.
I mean, for us, we enjoy seeing our grandson every week.
Mm-hmm. That's a blessing. Yes. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Yes. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Rita and I are leaving tomorrow to spend the week with our kids and grandkids, and so that's our joy. And
mm-hmm. Yes. Family. Family time. Yes. Thank you. All right, it's beautiful outside. Mm-hmm. That's my joy. And, oh, we have one more joy. Roger Jacobs, last week, and we have been praying for him. He had a surgery Thursday on his heart, and surgery went really well, and he came home yesterday. The family really appreciate your prayers and support, and please continue to have him in your prayers. Roger Jacobs. And please keep the Stutzman family in your prayers. Phyllis, she passed away last Monday. So please remember the family in your prayers. And please continue to have Jean Partridge and Reverend Normal Parson in your prayers. During the week, Bruce and Debbie, they made one moving 2 weeks ago, and then they will have final moving during the week. And also, Reverend Normal Parson is Debbie's father. He's going to move to another nursing home soon, so please remember them in your prayers. And let's turn to God and pray. Holy God, this morning we have gathered in your name, Lord, to praise you and worship you. We become humble by the mystery of your working in so many ways, God. This morning as we share our joys and concerns, spoken and unspoken, we give you thanks because we know you listen to our cries. You listen to our prayers. For that, Lord, we give you thanks. God, we know you have been calling us, inviting us to live our days today, tomorrow, and more, every day by your love and will. God, we need you. We need your courage. We need your strength. And we need your encouragement and guidance. Lord, lead us. Lead us this day to the place where all things are made new by your grace. And give us vision and will to embrace this world of need. Lord, where any of your people suffer, God, we pray for them. Where any of your people are sick, physically and spiritually and challenged, Lord, we ask for your hand upon each one of them. For those who are sick, for those who need recovery, And Lord, we also remember the people who lost their beloved one. Lord, embrace them with your love. Give them comfort and bring hope of reunion. It is only you, God, who can comfort at the loss. Lord, we need you. Be with us and help us be with you. With all our hearts and mind, we pray together as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. 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 Please be seated. When we sing together, gather us in verses 1 and 2. Some of you might not know of this song, but it's a cheerful one. It's a really good one. Let's sing together. Here in this place, new life is spring. Now is the darkness vanish away. See in this face our fears and our dreamings, brought here to you in the light of this day. Gather us in the lost and forsaken, gather us in the blind and the lame. Call to us now and we shall awaken, we shall arise at the sound of our name. We are the young, our lives are a mystery. We are the old who yearn for the face. We have been sung throughout all of history, called to be light to the whole human race. Gather us in the rich and the haughty, gather us in the pride and the strong. Give us a heart so meek and so lonely, give us the courage to enter the song. Amen. You are good.
This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen. Dan Kahneman, Daniel, Nobel Prize-winning psychologist, he conducted a massive study of 450,000 people who responded to Gallup research. It is about their lives, what brings them stress, and what brings them joy. The research was about the status of their heart, where they feel happiness. So let me ask you, where do you feel happiness? It was about where they feel happiness. And the result was interesting, particularly when it comes to money. So in the world we live, we have fantasy about money. And the idea is that we will be happier if we have more money. Who doesn't like money, right? By the end of the myth, if we could make maybe 10,000 more a year, I would be happier. Or if I could make 20,000 more a year, then I could be happier. But Kahneman's research team, so they wanted to figure that out. With 450,000 Americans. Let's be honest. We all need money. It is really important. I love the Bible because it's really, really practical. Yeah, there are some portions, many portions, there is about life, faith, Jesus, resurrection, belief. Yes, but we may find so many lessons about life, how we may find life and meaning and joy and love. Love the money. We can find so many verses in the Bible. So financial stability is really important in our lives, but the study indicates that beyond about $75,000 a year, there is no improvement in any of the measures. That was interesting. So even though it is really important, the study said money isn't really a very good indicator of what makes people happy or happier. Rather, one of the indicators that was friendship. The team found that people who make less money but have more friends are happier than people who make more money but have fewer friends. So friendship and your network of a relationship are greater indicator and predictor of happiness in life, much more than the income we have. And another happiness factor was religion and faith. In their secular study, they found that religion has a substantial influence on improving positive emotions and reducing report of stress. So you can find somebody who makes less money but have deep faith will find less stress and find more joy in their lives than somebody who has more money but less faith. So the study indicates that relationship and spiritual lives are a greater indicator of happiness than how much money we make. Then why? Why do relationship and faith make us happier than money? Unlike what we find in our world. And this research helps me think of this sermon series. So we have been talking about some lessons in the Bible. The Golden Rule, Micah 6:8, and forgiveness. I told you, whenever we pray the Lord's Prayer, I sit here kneeling at the kind of cross. Whenever I pray, God, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. I told you, sometimes I feel like, ouch! We feel that way because it is like, God, forgive me as I forgive others at the same level, same degree. That was about forgiveness we talked about last week. And today, we are going to talk about generosity. Generosity of spirit, generosity of finance, and generosity of our time. So these are the key that the Bible teaches us to find more joy and meaning in life. So let's talk about the generosity of spirit. It means freely showing kindness to the people above and beyond what you expect. Another word for the generosity of spirit, that is graciousness. So grace is showing kindness where it is not deserved or expected. Instead of looking at others' fault or mistake, we are looking to see the good things in their lives. We are intentionally focusing on the good and giving them the benefit of the doubt. So you show them the second chance. Second chance with mercy and forgiveness rather than judgment. So years ago, the University of Virginia made a study on the state of marriage. What makes a happy marriage? They found, regardless of their financial status, people who are generous toward their partner were three times more likely to report that they were happy. Three times. Compared to the people who are stingy toward their partner, withholding praise and blessing. Okay, I see some of you are smiling now. I think it's obvious, right? This study is so true. It is not only in marriage or intimate relationship, but every relationship. So generosity of spirit. We shower people with kindness. We try to find the good things in others. Sometimes it is beyond what you deserved. When I prepared that praise, I thought about how you have been gracious and generous to me. Sometimes I know I'm checking all the to-do list and okay, this week I have been good. And sometimes I feel like I have not functioning well. I'm evaluating myself almost every week. And sometimes I feel like, oh, I didn't do well. And especially right after Jeff, at the loss of Jeff. For a few weeks. But what I found was a couple of our people came to my office and gave me a hug. I thought, oh, maybe they will talk about why are you not working or malfunctioning? But they gave me a hug. Sometimes we need support, kindness, graciousness over what you deserved. That means people around us, we all need it. So the generosity of spirit, it is so important in having a happy relationship. If we have the generosity of spirit, trying to build up and bless the people around us, all the people, family members, friends, and neighbors, we are more likely to build a healthy and happy relationship. Everybody knows that. And in reverse, it is the same as recognizing the blessing that other people give to you. We need to recognize that we just don't receive every day. We also recognize it is not just for others we're trying to build up and bless, but for us to recognize their blessing. So it is so true that we feel blessed. Next slide. We feel happy to be a blessing. Then why do we feel happy and blessed when we bless others? So we can find the answer from the Bible. So many times when you're struggling with your life and meaning, you can find answer from the Bible. It says we are created in the image of God, who is full of grace and mercy. Grace is God's another name. Graciousness, generosity. Let me ask you, would people in your circle, your family members, friends, and neighbors, would people describe you as generous of spirit? Would they describe you as somebody who is always looking for the best in others, offering encouragement and lifting others up? We need to cultivate generosity of spirit in us, in our relationship, and in our beautiful Wesley community. And we can build up a community of generosity with the help of the Holy Spirit. And it leads us to the next one, generosity of money. When you think about generosity of money, part of what you think about is our relationship with money throughout our entire lives. There are so many stories in the Bible. And Jesus says, one's life does not consist in the abundance of your possession. It is not that having possession is wrong. But if we think that is all about life, what life is all about, then we are mistaken. Life does not consist in the abundance of our possession. There is something else that gives us life, a sense of joy and meaning in life. That is exactly what the researchers found in their secular study. So American sociologist Christian Smith and Hillary Davidson, they talked about the paradox of generosity. There's a book. They found that the people who give in life receive back by giving themselves away. That's interesting. People who find greater happiness in life are the people who hold on to things less tightly and more freely give something to the people. In the midst of giving away what they have, they actually find life. It is just like Saint Francis of Assisi said. He said, "It is in giving we receive, and it is in pardoning we are pardoned." It's really important lesson in life. We are blessed to be a blessing. The paradox of generosity. With the paradox of generosity, Smith and Davidson go on to write more generously in their research. They found more generous Americans, they experience more happiness and meaning in life, and they call it the paradox of generosity. And their claim, it is so biblical. The book of Ecclesiastes, traditionally, we think it was written by King Solomon, who was fabulously rich. with many luxurious palaces. He has been known as the richest person throughout human history. He wrote this little book called the Ecclesiastes. It might be a depressing book, because you can find vanity, 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 in vain, in vain, in vain, so many times. It might be depressing. Or eye-opening book. King Solomon, who was a lover of money, he said all the wealth he had gained did not bring him happiness, but rather made him depressed. And he realized his happiness was bound up and figuring out God's purpose of my life and his life and living that out. So generosity of spirit and generosity of money is meant to be a rhythm in our lives. It is meant to define us. It is not only a reflection of what's going on in our heart, but it actually shapes our heart. It is so true. So Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So what you do with your word and money actually end up shaping your heart. So you may not feel generous, but you may become generous by act, by training and disciplining ourselves to learn to let go of what we have in giving some way. You know, here's some fun story. I thought it was really hilarious. One day, a gentleman came to his pastor, shared his struggling. Pastor, I'm struggling. So years ago, when I was young, I made maybe $25,000 or $30,000, and giving 10% offering was not a problem. I was really happy. But now, I'm making $300,000, and now I'm in trouble. I'm really, really struggling. I feel like I cannot afford. So you know how much would be. Then the pastor said, yeah, I get it. I fully understand. It's not easy. It's not easy. And by the way, do you mind if I pray for you? Oh yeah, please. Then the pastor began to say, dear God, you know what this means. This faithful disciple is struggling. You know his heart. Please solve the problem. Make his income down to what he can afford. And give him peace. The proverb says, those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. It's interesting. Please hear me right. It doesn't say those who are blessed are generous. It says those who are generous are blessed. We are created for generosity. This is the nature God has embodied in you and me. One of my dreams as your pastor is to cultivate generosity, and we all become philanthropists at whatever level we find ourselves we can afford, with our spirit, with our money, and the last one, with our time and talent. Because we can find ourselves blessed to be a blessing. The last one is time. So do you give of yourself? Time, it is about ourselves. Do you give up some of your time to serve others? So if you have not figured that out, I want to encourage you to find many ways. You may find a team and committees and ministry in the church, and there are so many opportunities. You may volunteer in our local community to help the people. It is about a loving heart, then you form a relationship. It is not just, okay, I want to just do a good work. I just want to be a good man, good woman, good people. No, it is about shaping our heart, a loving heart. We may find and form a relationship with the people we serve. We have so many opportunities. What we discover is generosity of your time and talent leads to joy and meaning in life. Whether you are working for a working for a living or retired, there are so many great ways to serve the people and God, in which we may find joy and meaning in life. Let me go back to the biblical lesson. Why generosity is important? Because we are created in the image of God, which is manifested in generosity. That is generosity, grace. That is one of God's main characteristics we find in the Bible. Let's practice generosity. Generosity of spirit with the people, everyone we meet. Generosity of money and generosity of time and talent. We will not only find more joy and meaning in life, but also find God's abundant blessings. Amen. We can also think about generosity when we share the communion. Generosity, God's, the grace of God. God has given us blessing, love, kindness, forgiveness, and mercy more than we deserve. And Jesus invites you and me to come around the table. It is like, do it. I know you. I love you. I have planned for you. As we take the bread and wine, it is like, go with my love. Let's pray.
Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here. Lord, bless each one of us and bless these precious elements of the Holy Communion. Make this communion the body and blood of Jesus Christ, so that as we take them, make us the body of Jesus Christ, redeemed by his blood. Amen.
The table is set. Let the Lord feed you, nurture you, and guide you. Andy, the body of Christ. James, the body of Christ. Andy, the body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. Jeremy, the body of Christ. Glenda, the body of Christ. The body of Christ. Body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ.
the body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. The body of Christ. Shall we go up? Body of Christ, blood of Christ,
the body of Christ shed.
Amen.
The blood of Christ shed for you.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Yes, we can do this only at the 8 a.m. service, not the 10 a.m. service. So let me ask you, where did you find God moment during the week? What makes you happy with God? Well, people of God. Oh, would you be more specific? You made a special day. Yes, yes.
So like with my job, we do construction work, and I keep constantly getting better at finishing concrete. So I'm thankful for that.
Oh, yeah. So you are growing, learning and growing. Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you.
Well, we have the blessing this week of having a birthday party for Mom. Her birthday's coming up, and had a nice family party for her, and everybody got together.
Great, great. Yes. Oh, I thought 49. Ren, let me ask you, do we need more rain? A little bit more? We can use some?
We can use a little more.
Oh, yeah, we can. Yeah. Last night, rain was really good. Yeah, that was God moment. And you know, my father is a farmer too, and he said, "Oh, it's been raining." Okay, that's good. Where he lived, they had 10 days straight rain. He thought, "Oh, Noah's Ark might be." But thank God, in his area, there was no damage, even with the 10 days of rain. Yes, nobody got hurt. So, yeah. That was my... really good. Oh yeah, you can use a little bit more of rain, and we had some last night. That was God moment. And there they had a bunch of rain, but nobody got hurt. The crops are fine. That was God moment too. Thank you, Lord, for the protection. So our journey. Yes. Very nice. You found a home for a cat. Yes. Oh, not yours, yes. Okay. Yes, let's continue to find God's hand and blessing in our very lives. Let's do that. Let's do that. And let's invite God to do more work in our lives. Yes.
Help us accept each other as Christ accepted us. Teach us as sister, brother, each person to embrace. Be present, Lord, among us and bring us to believe. We are ourselves accepted and meant to love and live. Lord, for today's encounters with all who are in need, who hunger for acceptance, for righteousness and breath, we need new eyes to speak, new hand for holding on. Renew us with your spirit, Lord, free us, make us one.
Please remain standing and receive the benediction. The Bible says God has chosen you and confirmed you and shaped you to the image of Christ. We are not only conformed to the image of Christ, but also called to do the work of God in this world. We are God's masterpieces, and we are God's partners who stand up and speak for God, God's love, justice, compassion, and love. So now, let us go forth in peace. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and love of God the Creator and the communion of the Holy Spirit go with you. Amen.